your piano player. I just wish that he had cut loose a little bit. You know, he's so reserved and everything, but maybe he'll get excited about it, all right? But it's good. It's so good to be at Bible Baptist Church, and I want to appreciate Brother Travis. I've been praying for Travis and his family, and glad you all support him to be able to get away. He deserves that and needs that. And having served as a pastor myself, I can tell you how much it really encourages you and refreshes you to be able to do that. Thank you for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I want us to think about the fact that God is our refuge. He really is. And this psalm teaches us about that. It's such an encouragement. We really don't know for certain who wrote this psalm. According to Jewish tradition, some have it as David, others have it as Solomon, some have it as Moses, some have a combination of David and Solomon together. But whoever the earthly author is or was, we know that ultimately God is the author of Scripture. Amen. So God gave us the Word. It's His inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And it's my authority and your authority tonight. And we affirm the Scripture, the Word of God. So this psalm is given to us. And I think that it is a psalm of encouragement. I think it points out that we live in a world has danger, that's filled with danger. So the world, someone said, is a dangerous place. And living in a dangerous world, we do need a refuge. And God is that one that we can turn to as our heavenly refuge. I like Warren Wiersbe. In fact, he's probably my favorite Bible teacher who ever lived. Dr. Wiersbe said, "The saints who abide in Christ cannot avoid confronting unknown perils, but they can escape the evil consequences." Do you believe that tonight? We can escape the consequences of evil. And that's why we're thankful tonight to know the Lord is our refuge. So I think in this psalm, we're going to read it together in section by section, but as we look at this psalm, I believe really he lists several possible scenarios of danger. Maybe in a broad sense, he summarizes just about every circumstance you could be in that would be dangerous. And even though there are a lot of things that could threaten God's children, God's people, the church, the child of God, we're comforted in this psalm to know that God will protect us through it all. Now, I'm really glad to know that tonight. I'm really comforted by that fact. And I need to be reminded of that daily, that I can trust God to take care of me in a dangerous world. Doesn't mean I'm not going to go through things, but it does mean that I won't go through anything that God doesn't permit or allow, and that if God leads me to it, I believe He will also lead me through it. Amen? I believe that. So we live in a dangerous world. It's a world that's filled with disease. This psalm talks about some of the pestilence and disease that perhaps plague our world. It is. I mean, you just think about all the diseases in the world. And it's a world of death. There's death. We've heard about a couple of real serious traffic accidents, and my wife even told me there's another one today involving about 9 automobiles on I-75. I'm about afraid to get out on I-75 there, but there are about two kinds of people on I-75, the quick and the dead. Amen? I mean, it's a dangerous world we live in, so there are things that can happen. So, and it's a world that's damned under the curse of sin. And we think about the curse of sin. The Bible says sin, the wages of sin is death. And so we're under the curse of sin. And those that die without Christ are separated from God forever, in a place called hell, and they're tormented in hell. So we don't want that for anybody. We want them to know that there's somebody they can turn to who can save them, rescue them, deliver them from sin And that's the God that we preach and the God we're going to read about tonight. He's our refuge. And so it's a world of sickness, a world of sorrow, and we all need a refuge, and we can turn to Him tonight. So no matter who you are, what you're going through, what your circumstances are, this God invites you to come to Him tonight as your refuge. Now, how do I know that? How can I prove that? Well, I want to just give you three things that really have come to my heart just reading through this psalm, praying through this psalm. And how many of you believe God answers prayer? I believe He does. And so I'm a preacher, and God called me to preach sermons. And so I prayed a prayer, Lord, will you give me a message to share with your people at Bible Baptist Church? And this is a message that God has given me. And in our Bible study tonight, I just want to affirm that this is a message I believe the Lord wants for us. And so how do we know that God is our refuge and can protect us in a dangerous world? Well, there are three affirmations. The first one is, I, as a child of God, am under His wings. And we look at that. Look at verse 1 through 4. He says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So as a child of God, I'm comforted to know that the Lord's my refuge because I am under His wings. And isn't that a beautiful picture? And I don't know what kind of bird that perhaps the writer of the book of Psalms had in mind when he was thinking about the wings of a mother bird protecting her little chicks. But I grew up in the country, and I remember my grandma had chickens out in the front yard. And if we wanted Kentucky Fried Chicken, we didn't drive down to Mount Vernon through the drive-thru. She just went out in the front yard, and you know what she did to that chicken. She usually, you know, she brought that chicken in and dressed it and everything, and she would fry it in a cast iron skillet. And I still think that fried chicken is better in a cast iron skillet. And really, if you can cook it up in lard, you're really in heaven, amen. And my granny would cook with lard. And so that was our Kentucky Fried Chicken. But being a kid growing up in the country and being at my grandma's, I remember those chickens. And I remember as a little boy seeing those chickens, and they'd have the little ones, and she'd always take care of them. That mother hen would protect those little chicks, and she'd gather them under her wings. And have you ever been chased by a chicken? All right. Well, y'all must have been well behaved, because now I see a lot of hands going up. But you know, growing up, sometimes when nobody was looking, our parents or grandparents, we might get a little too close to that chicken. And if they have little chicks, they'll chase you and they'll fight for them, won't they? And they'll protect those little chicks. And so that mother bird will bring those little chicks under her wings. Several years ago, my brother from Florida, who plays the piano, we were talking about Florida, and I was in Florida, and there's a group years ago, and I don't know if they're still singing, but the name of that group was The Roops. Have you ever heard of The Roops? It was a mother and her daughters, and they would sing gospel music. And they had a song that really touched my heart. The first time I ever sang this song, I'm assuming it was their song. I don't know who wrote the song, maybe. But they recorded the song, and they sang it a lot. And it was called Under His Wings. Every now and then, I'll get that old song out on YouTube or something and go back and just listen to The Roots singing. Because the thought and the picture of being under God's wings, under His wings, is a beautiful thought. And that song, that old gospel song, comes from Psalm 91. And isn't it wonderful to know tonight that we are, as God's children, that He's our refuge, that we are beneath His wings, we are protected by Him, and so in His shadow. And so, you know, the illustration here is pretty simple, but if you get cold, then the wings will provide warmth. If you're out in the hot in the Middle Eastern world where the authors of Scripture lived, then that would have been a very hot place. And so the shadow of the Lord would have provided a shade for the people. And so the picture is that God is the one we can turn to in this world when we need warmth or when we need a shade. And I like to think of a Christian as somebody who's got it made in the shade. You know, tonight you have it made if you're a Christian. You are beneath the wings of the Lord. You are protected by the Almighty. And maybe you're different from me, but that just does something for my heart and soul. And it comforts me in ways that I probably don't have words to describe just how good it feels to know that from the Lord. Few months back, I was invited to preach in a church in Fort Knox, Kentucky. And so some friends wanted to go. They wanted to drive me there. And there were about four of us traveling over there, and I was sitting in the back seat, and we were coming through Fort Knox. And they said, "Now, preacher, look over here to your right. This is Fort Knox." And we were on our way to the church, and they told me all the details about Fort Knox. And they said, "You know, there's a lot of gold over there." I didn't see any of that gold. I didn't handle any of that gold. I didn't get any pictures of that gold. But I believe them that there's gold in Fort Knox, and maybe one of the largest reserves of gold in the world, perhaps, is there in Fort Knox. And they were telling me about all the high-tech, complicated, really sophisticated security measures that are taken to protect that gold there in Fort Knox. You know, and I don't think anybody sits up at night, and I didn't go home and worry that night. I didn't lose sleep that night thinking, boy, what if they break into Fort Knox, steal all that gold out? What are we going to do? You know, I didn't sit around wringing my hands worrying about any of that. I don't think anybody ever worries about that, because we feel pretty safe, don't we, about the gold in Fort Knox? We feel it's pretty secure. And you know, as I thought about that, I couldn't help but think, reading this psalm, of how secure I am in the Lord. May I say this to you tonight? That I am safer in God than the gold in Fort Knox, Kentucky. I am more secure in Him than all that gold. And friend, the Lord is protecting me, and He's protecting you. And He is your refuge tonight. Someone that you can put your confidence in. So I want to affirm you tonight to know that we are under His wings. But not only that, there's a second truth here, and I believe that it's evident as we read, pick up in verse 5, that we are also in His care. So I'm not only under His wings, but I'm in His care. He's looking out for me. Verse 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night." All kinds of sort of things that could happen at night, right? That could be very frightening. I said, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness." So there are a lot of diseases and germs floating around there in the world, and people are pretty scared right now about all these germs. And I'm not saying that we ought to do anything careless or reckless, but we shouldn't live in fear, folks. We don't have to go around worrying about all these invisible germs that we might breathe in, inhale, exhale, or whatever. You know, the Lord's going to take care of His people. He's going to protect us. So there's a lot of invisible things, and perhaps that's what He's talking about, verse 6. "The pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." Now, think about the impossible odds here of somebody surviving when thousands are falling around you. Tens of thousands are defeated around you. But He says, against impossible odds, God is looking out for you. Do you see how special you are to the Lord? How He cares for you, even in these impossible situations. So, verse 8, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." So who is His habitation? The Lord is. Now, what is a habitation? Well, I live down on West Main Street, 860 West Main Street, and that's where my home is. But my real home is the Lord. I'm at home with the Lord. I dwell in the Lord. And so we're dwelling in him, according to verse 10. And he's looking out for us and caring for us. Verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. So an adder would be what? A cobra? It'd be a serpent, a snake. And then the dragon there, I believe, is perhaps talking about a serpent. And so I don't know about you, but I don't really care for snakes that much. Around here in Rockcastle County, we may have a few venomous, poisonous snakes. Over there, they have probably some that are worse than our rattlesnakes and copperheads. I was in Africa on a mission trip. We had a missionary told me the story of a cobra over there that's a spitting viper. And I think about a cobra is probably one of the most intimidating of all snakes. And yet one that spits is even worse. Amen. It's going to spit poison on you. So these are very intimidating animals. And so he's giving us a dangerous situation here. Maybe we don't have any cobras around here to be afraid of, but there are other things that are just as dangerous to us. I mean, many folks are afraid not to have a security system or keep your doors locked or some measure of defense in the world we're living in. Who'd ever thought here in Rockcastle County, back in the day when my grandparents were still living, they never locked their door. And we would travel in when we were living out of state, and we would come in and we'd move out of Kentucky and live a few years. Mom would get homesick and we'd always end up back here. But when we were living out of state, we'd come home, visit our grandparents, and it didn't matter how late, and they were in the bed, and we'd just come on in, open the front door and just come on in, you know, and make ourselves at home and go to bed or whatever. But they never locked the door. How many of you, is anybody here tonight that maybe you oughtn't tell us, do you leave your doors unlocked? All of us probably lock our doors, don't we? And many people even have security systems in place, video cameras. My neighbor was talking to me the other day about some video cameras, and we kind of look out for each other. And I'll get up several times during the night, and I'll always peek out the window to make sure that my neighbors are okay and everything's all right over there. And if I see anything that concerns me, we try to look out for each other because we live in a dangerous world. Those people are wandering around, even right here in our small town. And folks, I can't imagine what people go through in other places in the world. But here is the scenario here in the Bible. But God cares for us, and he's our shelter. He protects us from all danger, from disease. And he talks about those pestilences. And aren't you glad to know the great physician? I really am. I'm glad. I'm thankful for the great physician, Jesus. You know, he's never been sued for malpractice. Did you know that? Nobody's ever brought a disease to Jesus that he wasn't able to cure and heal that sickness. So he healed every disease, and he's got a perfect record. There's never been anybody like Jesus. He's the greatest medical doctor that ever lived. And nobody's ever accomplished what he's accomplished. He healed every disease and sickness ever brought to him. And he's never had a case of abuse or anything like that. What a great physician that he is. And so we're in his care. He is my doctor. He is my physician. He's the one who heals my disease. Now, folks, I appreciate the medical folks and people who work in the hospitals and the nursing homes and the clinics and so forth. I appreciate the doctors and nurses and the folks that invent different medicines that help us and those things that can help us. But those things don't heal us. The doctors don't heal you, and the nurses don't heal you. The medicine doesn't heal you. The hospital doesn't heal you. God's the one who heals you. He's the great physician. Healing only comes from the Lord, and he's the source of every healing. So every time you've been sick and you ever got better, it's God that made you better. So we trust him tonight. We're in his care. I'm in the care of the great physician. You understand why that's a great truth and why it's such an encouragement and why God is such a wonderful refuge that we can come to? And we're living in this world, but the blessings of God's grace that have been promised to us have not been realized yet. We're still waiting for the fulfillment of these blessings of grace. And they will be one day realized when we get to heaven. But on our journey, on our way, we're walking through this world. And there are a lot of things that, you know, a lot of things along the way that we may have to face or go through. But we're in the care of the Lord. And His angels are watching over us. Now, verse 11 is a strong case in the Bible for guardian angels. Not everybody perhaps believes in guardian angels, but this preacher believes in guardian angels. I do, because I believe it from the Bible. And I believe verse 11, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So I believe there are angels, special messengers of the Lord and servants of the Lord that carry out the work of the Lord that are sent to protect the body of Christ. And you know what else the Bible teaches is that when we gather with God's people, and even tonight, as you gather as a church, do you know that angels will observe the worship of the saints of God? They're learning from us because they're not recipients of God's grace, but they're observers and they're watching. And sometimes they're even present in a worship service, observing and watching the child of God. And they're sent by God to protect and look out and supply for the saint of God. And so as men and women that love the Lord, aren't you glad to have a guardian angel? I believe sometimes I give mine a good workout, but he may wish that he wouldn't assign to me after it's all over with, but thank God that we have guardian angels that are sent to watch over us. There have been many times in my life when I know that it was the care of God. One time I was on a mission trip. We were traveling overseas, and there were about 27 evangelists on this airplane, and we're going over there to preach crusades in Asia, and we're going to spread out once we get there. And on the way there, one of the engines on our plane malfunctioned and stopped working. Now, that'll bless your heart, amen, when you lose an engine on the plane. Now, I'm really glad there was three other ones on that plane. I'm glad it wasn't a single-engine plane, but it had four engines. One of them quit working, and so we had to make an emergency landing. And you know what? I felt the peace of God, and I felt before we left, we prayed and trusted the Lord, and we knew we were in His care, and He took care of us, and He got us there safely to our destination. God looks out for us. I heard about a missionary couple that were serving over in some country, and there was a tribe of people there that were wanting to put this missionary to death. And they brought their men, and they brought their weapons, and they arrived at the home of that missionary, and they were there to murder them, to kill them. And the missionary and his wife, they saw them approaching. They looked out the window and saw them approaching. And they said, let's pray. And they hunkered down on their knees in that little hut they were living in. And they started praying. And that tribe, those people, surrounded their little missionary hut. And they prayed. And then they didn't do anything. And they just left. And so the missionary couple rejoiced and praised God. And they didn't really know why. And some time passed by. And then the chief of that tribe ended up becoming a Christian. Sometime later, I don't know if it was a year later or 2 years, whatever it was, and he got saved. And when he gave his heart to the Lord, then the missionary heard about it. And so he said, I'm going to go see this man, visit this man, and see and hear about his story. So he got to meet him, and then he asked him about the night that they came to their home. He said, we were afraid. We were praying because we thought you were coming there to kill us. He said, we were there. We were going to kill you. And he said, but when we got there, we saw all those tall men, those soldiers that you had around your house with their drawn swords and their armor and their bright shining armor. And he said, we were afraid of those men that were there. And the missionary said he realized at that moment that God's angels had protected them. And evidently, that person had seen them. Now, I've never seen an angel, but I don't have to see one to know that they're here. and they're real and they're at work. Amen. I believe what the Bible says in His guardian angels. Every now and then it's good to be reminded that God has His angels looking out for you. And I believe that. Now, the devil took this passage of Scripture, and you know this, and he tried to misrepresent what God was saying in this verse. Whenever Jesus faced the devil in the temptation period in Matthew 4, you remember that in the Gospel of Luke, and there were three particular temptations that Jesus met there with Satan. And Satan knows the Word of God, doesn't he? He knows the Bible better than some Sunday school teachers, some preachers, and some missionaries. Perhaps he knows the Bible better than any of us here tonight. But he takes the Bible out of context, and he misuses the Word of God. And he took this passage, this psalm, and he misrepresented it to Jesus. And so this passage of Scripture, the devil was trying to misuse it, but he was trying to say, hey, you can be reckless or whatever, but that's not what God is saying here. We don't tempt God, do we? We don't tempt God. We don't say, well, I'm just going to let go of the steering wheel when I drive my car because God will take care of me. No, that'd be tempting God, and we wouldn't do that. And so that would be a misapplication of the Word of God. But when this passage is properly understood, that we're able to look to God as our refuge, and that we're in His care, and that His angels are sent from heaven as guardian angels carrying out the work of God, that, friend, there isn't anything that can happen to you and I that we're not under the protection of the Almighty. Not a hair can fall from your head, friend. Listen, nothing can happen to you that we're not under the protection of God, and that God is not going to take care of us in that instant. It doesn't mean that we might not have to walk through some things. Think about all the things that God protected the children of Israel from. He brought them out of Egypt, and they had all those diseases down there in Egypt, all those plagues and horrible sickness that plagued the Egyptians. But God said to Israel, I'm going to protect you and take care of you, and He did. But then there are others in the Bible who they succumb to sickness and danger. And, you know, there are people like Daniel who were delivered from the lions, but there have been other Christians who were martyred by lions. There have been some Christians who have been preserved from the fire. There have been others who have been burned at the stake. You know, and so there have been other Christians who were saved miraculously. But see, God has a plan in every single situation. And it's just good to know tonight that I'm in His care and God's going to see me through it. So I'm under His wings, I'm in His care. And the last thing is verse 14, 15, I am by His side. Verse 14, 15, and 16 says, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Don't you love that? Man, I tell you, if I had an ink pen, I'd just underline that right now in my Bible. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So what do we enjoy from this? We enjoy nearness with God, closeness with God, intimacy with God, fellowship with God, deep fellowship with the Lord. He has set His love upon us. And we have nearness and closeness. And we can call on the Lord. The Bible says, He will call upon me and I will answer Him. You see, prayer is a privilege. It's a great privilege that we can call upon the name of the Lord. And God hears us when we pray and He answers our prayers. And we know His name. We know the name of God. We're on a first name basis with Holy God. And what is His name tonight? Well, His name is Jesus. According to the Scripture, His name is Jesus. He is the I Am. You know, we can say His name is Jehovah. We can say His name is Yahweh. We can call Him the Lord God, the Most High. You see, he's so important, one name just isn't enough for him. But he is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know his name. And the children of Israel were given his name. At the burning bush, Moses asked the question, when God said, go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, who shall I say has sent us or sent me? And he said, you tell them, I am has sent thee. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I am. In the Gospel of John, over and over, seven different times, Jesus said, I am. And so when Jesus said, I am, then he's claiming to be God. And so we know he is the great I am. And we can always turn to God. He will deliver us. We can turn to him, not only in times of distress, but friend, we can turn to God at all times. We can turn to God each and every moment of the day and have fellowship with him at all times because we're by his side. And we're so thankful to know that tonight. And so tonight, I leave you with this great truth of God being your refuge. And you be sure to tell Brother Travis that Brother Randy behaved himself over here. I didn't get him in any trouble or anything like that. But Brother Randy just opened up the Word of God and preached the Word of God. And you tell him that Brother Randy loves him. He's a good friend. I'm praying for him. And I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here Sunday morning and Sunday night and to be back here on Wednesday night. And, you know, I've already been more faithful here at Bible this week than I am even at the church where I'm a member of. So I may as well go ahead and just move my letter. Amen. But thank you so much for having me. And I hope that every time you'll have a picture of being under the wings of God, that maybe there'll be things and reminders along the way to know that you're under his wings. You're in his care. The Lord's looking out for you. His angels are sent to guard and protect you. And you're by his side. You enjoy fellowship with him, and you can call on him, and he'll hear you and answer you. Isn't it great to be saved tonight? I'm so glad that I'm saved and to know I can walk out of here tonight to know these things as a reality in my heart. All right, Brother Billy's going to dismiss us in a word of prayer. And Brother Bill, if you would, at this time, you close us out.